This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Earlier, I was mentioning ways to listen to the program at your convenience. Well, podcasting, easiest way and most reliable for you, using your favorite podcatcher, the one that you're most comfortable with. Do a search for us, Kelly and Company, and take a listen. Subscribe. If you wouldn't mind, give us a rating and review, but mostly take in the show in the best way that suits you, whether it's the segments of the program or the full, complete Kelly and Company podcast experience, where we toss in an audio vanity card today presented by Ramya Muthan for you. Check it out. It's the Kelly and Company podcast, using your favorite podcatcher. Kelly McDonald in the London, Ontario home studio. Ramya Muthan in the home studio in Toronto.
We're going to have some really interesting conversation right now, Kels, because our next guest has some of his work heading to the moon. We talked about this project last Friday. And you heard correctly, the moon. So physicist, entrepreneur, and storyteller, and a bunch of other accolades. But we'll start with those three. Samuel Peralta is joining us right now to talk about this work. Samuel, thank you for coming on Kelly and Company.
Hi, thanks for inviting me. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So we're just wondering, was Earth just getting too boring for you? Is that why you're sending your work to the moon?
No, thanks. It was it was an opportunity that came up, actually. 50 years ago, the Apollo project landed on the moon, and that was the last time we heard of it, except, as you know, the Perseverance lander has landed on Mars, so everything about space is big again. And the NASA put out a commission for commercial landers to the moon. In other words, NASA wasn't manufacturing its own lunar landers anymore, but it wanted private companies to build them. So a company named Astrobotic out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, put together a lunar lander on its own, and NASA commissioned them to put their payloads on the moon. There was extra space available on the lander, and so Astrobotic made that space available for other people to obtain payloads, and I and some other people obtained some space on the lander for payloads, and that's how it happened.
That's phenomenal.
Wow.
Wow. Samuel, we'll get into some more of what else you know is going to go in that as part of that payload. I mean, this is really, really fun when you think about it. But what also is interesting is, as we introduced you here on the program, we had to stop and say, wow, this is a very diverse gentleman, man of many trades, physicist, entrepreneur, storyteller, author, and award winner. Tell us a little bit about your diverse background.
Well, I've finished a career in the energy industry, working essentially in nuclear plants and putting together robots to inspect nuclear plants. So that was a very exciting time in my career. On the side, I wrote science fiction stories, and I couldn't get, didn't have the time to look for an agent or anything like that. So I published them myself, along with other people's, in anthologies. And to my surprise, the anthologies took off. They hit the number one lists on Amazon. I published another one. I published another one. And now we've got about 25 books, all of them bestsellers on Amazon. I hit the USA Today bestsellers list, as well as the Wall Street Journal's bestseller list. And I mean, that's just been amazing to me, because really it was myself sharing my anthologies with other people and just bringing that pleasure of being published to other people. And it just has been a great success. After that, some of the stories that I published were filmed, and they streamed on Netflix in the Love, Death, and Robots series. Wow. I started looking around for other things I wanted to do. And one of the things that I like to do is to inspire other creative people. So I said, I'm interested in film. I'm not very good at filmmaking, so why don't I help produce short films? So essentially what I do is I find very promising filmmakers and their films, and if I like it, I essentially help them start out, give them some seed money to film. And one of the films I helped produce essentially went on to win an Emmy. So
wow,
if you bet on the right horse, the horse wins.
Wow, Samuel, that's amazing. And you know what's happening now? Like, you know, the producers, Ramya and Jeff, who produce our show here, they're thinking, geez, how many segments could we get out of this guy? This is great.
Uh-huh. Yeah. just getting to funny. The tip of the iceberg today.
Oh yeah,
it's a very funny career that I've got here. But it's been exciting, and as long as it's interesting, I'll do it.
Exactly. And you kind of got your fingers in everything, which is amazing. And it all plays out to help everything else out. So the project that you're part of is Writers on the Moon. That's kind of the payload of things that are going to the moon that you talked about with Astrobotics. So can you tell us a little bit about this particular project?
So how it started out, well, Writers on the Moon is just one of the three projects I'm in that are going to the moon, actually.
Okay.
The first I heard about it was last year. And essentially what has happened is this company called DHL, and you know DHL, the package company, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They essentially launched a new service that says, send your package to the moon. We'll send anywhere on Earth, and we'll send one to the moon. And so if you book a moon box with them, you can send something to the moon. It's not that cheap because it takes a ton of money to send a kilogram of stuff to the moon. But you can send data, and data in a memory card isn't so heavy.
Right.
So the first package I sent up is a very personal package. It's essentially a memento. I sent that in October to Astrobotic. And then around January this year, I was invited to join Writers on the Moon. And it was started by Susan K. Quinn, who was a former rocket scientist and is now an author as well. And that's how I know her. I've published her in my anthologies. And so she basically asked a group of friends if they'd like to join her on the moon. She's sending 125 people on the moon. And so all of them are putting their books together and sending them on a data card to the moon. Now, I publish not just my own books, but also anthologies. Every anthology has something like a dozen people on it to about 20. So when I send a book up, it's not just my stories going up in the moon, but it's the stories of all the people that I've worked with. So when I send up 25 anthologies, I'm essentially sending up a lot of people. And right now, at last count, I was sending up about 400 people in the Writers of the Moon project. And that's just taken off like crazy. People are just talking about it because it's something that's a little different. And we thought that it would give hope to people during this pandemic time as well, where people are basically stuck at home. But with this project, you give them some hope, and you also let them look out at the moon. It's different. It's something to look forward to.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And like you said, what a way to get a bunch of things up there in that format, something very unusual. Can you talk about some of the other things that would go up with the payload, as you mentioned, and how are they, give us a picture, how are they placed and stored up there?
Sure, I'll give you a picture of that. Right now, along with my books, I've also put up screenplays, such as for the screenplay for the Emmy-winning film. I put up music. I was commissioned to write the song for my high school, and my high school is a very old high school. It's celebrating its 400th year.
Wow.
It's one of these old Spanish high schools back in the Philippines. So I wrote that with my brother, and the score is going up. There's some artwork going up. And then last week, after I talked to you over email, I got the idea. I said, wait a minute, I'm sending up some artwork. Why don't I send up more artwork? So what I did was I scrounged up around to find anybody who had still some space left on any memory cards they were sending to the moon, because the deadline was March 1, right? Mm-hmm. I found a few people, and basically what I did was I reserved all of the space that they had left. And so last week I spent all the time sending up catalogs of art to the moon. So I essentially last week sent up 800 artists to the moon. So right now, that total of 400 creative people that I'm sending up to the moon personally has ballooned to about 1,200 people. It's just been phenomenal. So right now there's uh, There's artwork. There's poetry that's going up. And I like to say we've got 1,200 human creatives going up and one AI, because one of the projects I've been working with is writing poetry with an artificial intelligence.
Cool.
So that poetry is also going up on the moon. It's still to be published. It's going to be published soon. But there you go. We've got a robot who's written poetry and it's up on the moon.
That is awesome. Well, yeah, you talked about the memory cards and things like that. Anything else you want to say about how things will be sitting on the moon, literally? And tell us when and where the launch is going to happen as well before we go.
Okay, so the memory card is inside what's called a moon box, and that's a hexagonal container. And there are maybe scores of these moon boxes that are put into an oval capsule that they call the moon pod. The moon pod is held in Astrobotics' Peregrine Lunar Lander, which will also deposit some NASA payloads. So we will be alongside some NASA instruments in that payload. When it will be launched from Cape Canaveral, late 2021. Right now they're thinking July, but it may be delayed. And that'll be launched through a ULA Vulcan Centaur rocket. It will deposit the Peregrine lander in orbit around the moon. It will land, and that moon pod that it's carrying will essentially be archived on the moon in perpetuity for future generations to discover.
So wild. Well, this is amazing. And honestly, we'd love to have follow-up conversations with you closer to the launch and things like that, because it's really awesome. But Samuel, we got to go. So thank you so much for coming on and engaging us in this topic.
Thank you for inviting me. It's been fun.
It has been fun. We were talking to physicist, entrepreneur, storyteller, author, and award winner Samuel Peralta about his work heading to the moon.
My gosh, he's busy. But these guys here, they'll try to put him to work for more. A wonderful conversation. In the next hour, we chat with Andrea Voss from CNIB Smart Life about Lego Braille bricks. Today's special guest for the roundtable conversation is Amy Amante from Vancouver. But up next, Ottawa Community Reporter Kim Kilpatrick with her community report.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.